Jeff mentioned that there's been some queries concerning the title of the message. Well, that really wasn't going to be the title. It was going to be longer than that. But I had these two sign twins. They come here every Thursday morning to put the letters back out on the sign out along the road so that people going by can see what the sermon is going to be about. Well, those sign twins, what are you looking at me funny for? You don't know who the sign twins are? Well, you got to come here on a Thursday morning, along about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. They pull up here in this little gray, brownish, rickety old pickup truck, Ford. They come up to the end of the cement walkway out here. They don't like to walk too far from the parking lot. Can't do that. Trottle into the office, go into the secretary and get the title. And like I said, the title was originally going to be a little longer. Here's what the title was going to be to start with. What you wanted to know about baptism but were afraid to ask. The sign twins didn't like that. Too many letters for the sign. As they were coming out with their box of letters, and I was coming in this past Thursday morning, one of the sign twins, the more slender one, "Hey, Pastor Jan, we're going to put your sermon out on the sign." The little chubby one, "Yeah, and they only have so many letters, Pastor Jan. You got to find out who the sign twins are. I'm not going to tell you their name." I believe today is a destiny Sunday for many people here this morning. Pastor Jeff has already mentioned the connection to last Sunday, the communion we had and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit here at CBC last Sunday. A little bit later on in the message, I'm going to make that connection. You see, I believe God did what often we see done on a TV program. You're watching a program, it's great, you're enjoying it. Just about at the climax and you get this, "to be continued," on the screen. I saw God write "to be continued" on the screen last Sunday. I'll tell you why in a few minutes. I'm very glad that we are having singular focus Sundays on communion and baptism. Why? Communion and baptism, the sacraments of the church, are participated in too routinely whenever we have. You know, it's Communion Sunday. So it's Communion Sunday. So what? We go through it, don't think much about it. I'm glad that we have focused Sundays for communion. And I'm glad today we have a focused Sunday concerning baptism. I don't want them to lose their significance and their importance to you as a child of God. The sacraments should never be routine. They are a divine command. This morning I would like to focus our attention on baptism by using three questions. Is baptism only a New Testament practice? Is baptism a necessary component of salvation? Why then should I be baptized? Well, you're probably wondering what this is for. You'll find out later, but I don't have any blonde wigs. Let me put it another way. I want to focus on baptism this morning with a little study from God's Word, a little story, and a little song. A little study then this morning to answer the question, is baptism only a New Testament practice? Often thought that baptism is only a New Testament practice because it is only a New Testament word. So is it only a New Testament practice? Is that true? No. Baptism is not just a New Testament practice, but comes from several cleansing and washing practices in the Old Testament. The word baptism means to be fully wet by immersion in water as a celebration ceremony of the absolution of a person's sins. What can we learn then about baptism as practiced in the Old Testament in their ceremonial washings, which the worship team and Jordan Kleinhans so amply gave us insight last week into what the washing laver and the brazen altar were for. And as I sat in the audience, my sermon had already been prepared weeks before. As I sat in the audience last Sunday and enjoyed that sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit as that worship team led us in that worship, and Jordan explained the use of those furniture in the temple, I saw God go, continued, to be continued next week. Because I wanted to take the time in this service to explain what that furniture was all about. But I knew I didn't have time. So when I saw Jordan, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, put that up and explain it last week, I knew God had put "to be continued." And this is a Destiny Sunday for some of you out here this morning. Join me, please, in a congregational reading of Leviticus chapter 1, verses 5 and 9. You join me. You read out loud with me, please. After Aaron's sons, the priests, slay the sacrificial bull, they will wash its inward parts and legs in water before burning all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor to the Lord. What can we learn? What significance do these verses have to do with baptism? Several. Let me quickly note three. Notice that the sacrificial animal's inwards and legs were washed in water. No mixture of liquid was allowed. Baptism, the symbol of spiritual purification by salvation, is to occur in water. No other liquid. The animal's inward parts, especially the heart, are fully submerged in water for the washing. The baptismal candidate is fully submerged, buried in water if possible, to indicate symbolically his or her spiritual death to the life of self and sin, having been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the absolution of their sins. Historically, the priest washed the animal parts three times. When baptism occurs, the declaration of baptism is given in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. Then, a very important change takes place for that person. The person being baptized is then considered the property of the name of the one they are baptized into. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you are bought with a price, the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not your own once you are bought with Jesus Christ's blood. Join me again, please, as we read congregationally together from Exodus 29:4, reading out loud. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. Please take careful note that in Revelation 1:6, it declares that if you are a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are a priest of God. No question about it. Whether you're performing your priestly duties, that's another question. But you are declared by God as one of His priests. Before the priest was fit for the service of his office, he had to be ceremonially washed at the door of the tabernacle. Before you or I are fit for service to God, we need to be washed by the blood of Jesus in salvation. That may not be true this morning of some of you here. There may be those in our midst, most likely so, who have never allowed the shed blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse them from their sins. This may be a Destiny Sunday for you. You can resolve that today, right where you're sitting, by accepting the payment that Jesus made for you on the cross. You see, yes, the Bible says over and over again that Jesus died for the sins of the world. He did. But that means He died for you personally to make relationship with God the Father possible for you. Baptism first publicly expresses that a person has accepted Jesus' death on the cross as the payment for their sin before a holy God. Eternal death, meaning separation from God forever and His love, is the result of not accepting God's gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Baptism second is a public statement that I want to serve God. In Matthew 3:15, Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament requirements of a priest being washed in water by baptism to indicate the start and his readiness for specific ministry to God. In 1 Peter 2:21, we are told that we are to follow in Jesus' steps. We are to do as followers of Christ, what He did, what He modeled for us in His baptism. Historically, the Old Testament priest washing was a full body immergence, three times in water, to represent their purity, holiness, and especially their will to serve the Lord. Baptism should not be a ritual a person goes through, but a personal public declaration of relationship to God in and because of Christ, with the willing, ready mind to serve Jesus from that point on in their life. God will provide and has provided all that you and I need as His children to follow Him and do what He wants us to do in the resident Holy Spirit that He gives us at the moment of salvation and His written word that we have to guide and direct us and help us grow spiritually every day. Now a little story to answer the question, is baptism a necessary component of salvation? Of the more than 50 references of baptism in the New Testament, four verses, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16 and 1 Peter 3:21 are verses that are often pointed to as making baptism a necessary part of salvation. But the 100-plus verses dealing with believing, faith, and baptism in connection to salvation clearly place no requirement on baptism as a necessary component of salvation. Here are just three of those 100-plus verses. Romans 3:28. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds, that is, any work on my part, of the law. Romans 5:1. Since we are justified by faith and have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Note, baptism is not mentioned. In fact, when you go home today, take out your Bibles and read through Romans chapter 5. It's a great chapter to show us how we are made children of God and why. And baptism is not mentioned once in that chapter. Romans 10:9. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll become a child of God. Baptism's not included at that part. So from a textual review of Scripture, it is clear baptism is not a necessary component of salvation. The verses in question were spoken to Jewish people who understood the Old Testament symbolism of baptism that we examined earlier. They would understand that undergoing baptism did not save them, but rather that the Lamb of God's sacrifice provided the salvation, and that baptism simply an act of identifying with the death and resurrection of that sinless Lamb. It was, however, that identification by baptism that was so publicly potent as for the reason for those four verses. You see, baptism would cost those early Jewish converts. It would cost them something. Excommunication from other Jews who had denied Christ. Excommunication, most likely from their family and relatives. It would cost them. Now a little story. To illustrate that like those early Christians, even in our modern times, baptism sometimes will cost. This is a true story. I was there. I witnessed it. It occurred in 1962 in the island of Okinawa. We'll call her name Nana. Nana's a 12-year-old child. Lives in Naha, the capital city of Okinawa, or did live there, where the Central Baptist Church that I attended there in Okinawa while I was there in the Marine Corps. You see, Nana came to know Jesus Christ by coming to the Sunday school of the church. She went home after accepting Jesus into her heart, and she told her mommy, "Mommy, Mommy," happily, "I accepted Jesus into my heart today." Mommy looked at her daughter, put her hand on her shoulder and said, "That's nice, dear. Take your Jesus and put Him back on the shelf with all the other family gods." You see, it was okay for each member of the family to have a personal God. Nana replied to her mommy, "No, Mommy, no. Jesus is not like the other gods. Jesus is the only God." Her mother turned from her and smiled, probably thinking in her mind, "Oh, this childish thing that she has right now, it'll go away eventually." Later that summer, the church held a baptismal service, much as we're holding here today. Nana wanted to be baptized. She wanted to go public that she had accepted Jesus into her heart. She invited her mother and father. They were Okinawan now. These are Okinawan people. Her mother and father didn't come. Nana was baptized that Sunday at the church. Sometime later, a week or so, 2 weeks, Nana returned home from school one afternoon to see a horrible sight. Out there in the street in front of her house was every belonging she had thrown out in the dirt trail, the dirt walkway, street in front of her house, like garbage. Nana was shocked. She didn't know what happened. She headed for the door. The door was held shut, a very unusual thing in an Okinawan home. "Mommy, Mommy, let me in! Mommy, Mommy, let me in!" Nana screamed. Her mother's face appeared in the doorway as she pushed the door back a bit. "I don't have any daughter named Nana. She died several days ago. You don't live here." And shut the door. Nana was shocked, sobbing, started to cry, didn't know what to do. Some of the people of the church found out Nana's condition and took her in to live with them. That same week, Nana's parents had a mock death march and a mock cremation ceremony for the daughter that they had who died. Anytime they saw Nana on the street, they would turn their heads, would not talk to her. That was true of everybody else in her family. Baptism then is a statement by the one being baptized that I declare a death to my old sinful self and make a decision, a declaration to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. We call it the Lordship of Jesus Christ in a person's life. You see, Nana understood that to be a child of God, yes, baptism meant life, but baptism also meant death. Nana experienced that death. She understood what it means to die. Okay. Now a little song to answer the question, why then should I be baptized? Generally, when a person is baptized, the focus is on the fact that the person has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That they have understood they are a sinner by practice and by nature. For which the cost, as I said earlier, was eternal death, eternal separation from God. But Jesus Christ paid for that sin on the cross. He made it possible for that person to come to God in relationship. He made it possible for them to have an eternal life relationship with God the Father, their Creator. That is prime. That is important. That is necessary. It must precede baptism. Baptism has no meaning if that has not been a personal decision by the person being baptized. But this morning, I want to also emphasize the other meanings of baptism. The declaration of death to the old sinful way of life, and equally important, the will or willingness to serve my Heavenly Father by entering into the sufferings of Jesus Christ in service. I said, I believe this is a Destiny Sunday for some of you in this audience. Shortly, they're going to play a song, a 1977 song. Yeah, I know that was before some of you were born. That makes some of you worry. Oh, boy, what is that song? He's an old guy. Not sure I want to hear that one. This song will emphasize why a child of God should be baptized. The words will be up on the screen when the song is played. And as the song is being played, I will turn and go back, but I will return to the podium shortly towards the end of the song. When I do that, if God has been moving upon your heart this morning to be baptized, because you've never been baptized, or for some other reasons I will just mention, then you will make your way, please, to the left side of the auditorium and the double doors, and the pastors and elders will be there to help prepare you for baptism. You might be saying this morning in your mind, you might be thinking, I was baptized as an infant, or for church membership, or I was baptized because someone told me I had to be saved. But I realized this morning, they were not the expressions of my heart. They were not me telling the public how I feel about God. And this morning, I want to be rebaptized. I want to demonstrate that I not only belong to Jesus Christ in salvation, but I want to serve Him in my life as the Lord of my life. I welcome you to be baptized this morning. Please, when the end of the song comes, if that is your heart, do not be afraid to join the others as they leave to be baptized. Perhaps you've been a child of God for a long time, but you've never celebrated your salvation in baptism. I invite you to be baptized today, to publicly declare before this audience that you belong to Jesus Christ. And to publicly declare that from that moment on, you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life. The Bible commands the child of God to be baptized. Or you've shared in communion, but you've never been baptized. You have publicly shown that you want to share in the eternal life Jesus has provided to you, but you have never publicly shared that you want to serve Jesus with your life. You need to be obedient to baptism and publicly declare yourself as a servant of Jesus Christ. You see, baptism and communion, they are sacraments that should be shared jointly by the child of God. And then maybe there's this question in your mind, Pastor Jan, I'm still struggling with sin. I have sin problems in my life. Should I be baptized? I've never been baptized. I think I have to wait till I get the sin problem all taken care of. Psalms 130, verse 3, says that if God were to make a list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if God were to make a list of our sins, the Bible says none of us, including me, could stand, had the right to stand before God and consider that we have a relationship with God. No, you don't need to clean up your life just to be baptized. In fact, you could make a very good statement this morning before this congregation by saying, I want to be rid of those sins and I want to depend upon God to help me to do that through His Word and the resident Holy Spirit. And I want to show that I want Jesus, the Lord of my life, and I want to be free of those sins. You too can be baptized. Okay. The song then, it's called Water Grave. A description of why you should be baptized this morning. Your Heavenly Father this morning, that you want to declare a death to self and sin. If you're 12 years or older and you would like to be baptized this morning, whether it's rebaptism because it wasn't your choice before or whether it's for the first time, make your way to the left of the back of the auditorium for the elders and pastors to begin to prepare you. This is God continuing His work of last Sunday. This is a destiny Sunday for many of you. God bless you.